What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where I speak to guests who have encountered countless spaces and moments of ambiguity and uncertainty to discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate periods of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by an amazing fellow podcaster, Nick. She is a life coach. She is a pioneer of education, and she is doing some amazing things. Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I've had the opportunity to meet with you ahead of time and get to know you a little bit better. Can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a life and wellness coach. I primarily focus on helping women, especially who are just wanting to like find themselves, you know, practice better self-care, because I think, especially as women, we neglect that a lot. And on my journey, I have found how essential it is to focus on self and individuality. And so I want to help other women do that. I have a background in education and also librarianship.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that is the basic background about me.
Awesome. 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 So thank you for the explanation of your history and what you do and the different things that you focused on. But I want to get to know you a little bit better. So I have a segment that I like to call Fast Five, where I ask five random questions to try and understand you a little bit better. You ready to go and dive into that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay. So you're at home, you have a sink full of dishes, and you have a basket full of clothes. What is worse for you, laundry or dishes?
I think the dishes.
That's understandable. I mean, like with laundry, the machine does most of the work, right? So it's like, just throw them in there.
And also, like, you know, as you're going to the kitchen throughout the day, if you don't wash them, you know, you're just going to keep adding. So
very, very true.
Yeah.
Very true. All right. So you mentioned a little bit about self-care in your introduction. So if you have to choose between a massage or a facial, which one are you choosing?
Definitely a massage. Because, like, you know, a massage could reach places that you can't reach for yourself. Like, your own facial, you know?
I like that. I like that. You can make that a part of your own self-care. I love that. Yeah. I love that. So you also mentioned the kitchen and some of the dishes and all that other stuff. So if you have to get a snack, are you getting chips or candy?
Neither. Probably getting a fruit. Ooh. Or like, I'm being more mindful now about what I eat, especially after my health journey and like that I'm still going through right now. So I don't eat sweets anymore. And I'm very careful about the kind of snacks that I eat.
Wow. So as you're on your health journey, if you could only order or eat from one restaurant, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's a tough one, too. I've been trying, like, so my journey is fairly new, so I'm still trying to figure it out. And I don't think I've found any one restaurant yet. But when I do eat out, I ask them for steamed. Because, you know, you don't know what kind of oil they're using to cook the food in and that kind of thing. Because it's not, like, obvious on the menu, these things. So I just have to be mindful of asking for what I want to put in my body.
Absolutely. Okay, so since you are on this new journey, you can do one restaurant. I'm going to switch the question up. If you could only make or have one meal for the next month, what meal would you choose?
I don't know. I like plantain. I like to eat plantain. So like for breakfast this morning, I had sweet plantain with baby kale and a slice of turkey on bread. And I'm doing a gluten-free bread. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. I'm loving it. Come on with the healthy vibes. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So, final question. Have you ever faced ambiguity or uncertainty in your life?
Yeah, I could say, I mean, a number of times. But what
absolutely
comes to me most directly is my recent health changes.
Tell us about that.
This started about a year ago. I just started experiencing some symptoms, like right at first. And I'm not even sure what came first, but I noticed one of them was swallowing. I just felt like something was stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
And so at first, like, you know, a lot of us, even though I'm a librarian, I go through the internet sometimes. So I went to the internet to try to find out, you know, what could I do? So they had some suggestions, one of which was drinking soda, which I did. And it didn't really help. And that stayed around. But I thought maybe I had swallowed a pill or something and it didn't go down the right way because, you know, I took vitamins.
Yeah.
And those vitamin C pills are really huge.
They are.
Yeah. So, and then I started noticing other symptoms, like my hands would fall asleep, like they would go numb. Like, and you know, we all experience that, but it was just like on a different level. It was like, you know, and sometimes some of these things you can't really explain to other people, but it was that the numbness, then I had tingling, pain throughout my body, digestion problems with my stomach. So I don't know. It's so many different things. Like I went to my primary care and she didn't really know what was going on, but she suggested I see some specialists. And that's one thing I found out, that there are specialists for every single thing. Like,
yeah.
So the process was kind of hard to get a hold of because I have to see in so many different people.
Yeah.
And each person I saw specialized in something separate. So they weren't really looking at me as a whole person.
Ooh.
And that made the process, I guess, harder, like in hindsight. But when I was going through it, it was so much ambiguity because I didn't understand what was happening to me. And it was a very scary feeling. My family didn't understand what was happening either.
Yeah.
And because I didn't understand, I couldn't explain it either. The doctors didn't understand what was happening either. Because every time I went, they would say, oh, everything is normal. Your blood tests are normal. Everything is good. But I continued to have those symptoms. And I knew that something was happening.
Yeah. So in that space that you found yourself in, what was it like to navigate kind of the not knowing? Like for a listener out there that currently is in a situation where they know something is off and they're doing all the tests, they can't figure it out, but they're trying to figure out how to deal with it internally, because I imagine that it could be very frustrating and stressful. What was that like for you? And would you have any advice for that listener?
Yeah, it was very hard. There were lots of tears of like the pain I was going through physically, but also mentally, like not knowing what was happening, not knowing how to help myself. And
yeah,
sometimes feeling so alone in the process, because it was almost like sometimes some of the doctors didn't really believe me, which only added to my frustration because I know what I was feeling. So I would encourage, if someone is going through this, to just continue to go to the doctors, because even though I was frustrated and maybe at times I wanted to give up, but I wanted to get to a point of knowing what was happening, because even after I knew, and it wasn't the best thing that I wanted to hear, but yeah. knowing gave me some relief. So I would say keep going. It took for me to get to the point of seeing a rheumatologist and a neurologist to understand more what was happening with me, because not all doctors are able to run certain tests. So even like, yeah, the primary care doctor, she couldn't run certain blood tests or other kinds of tests that doctors within certain specialties can. And so it took months, actually, because there was a long wait period to see a rheumatologist and a neurologist. So
wow, I can only imagine.
A part of that was just waiting. But with a librarian background, what I did was I went to the internet. And I did a lot of research. And I mean, while it's a good thing, it's also a very frustrating thing. So I would say it's good to try to get more information for yourself, but also know not to overwhelm yourself too much with the negative part of the information that you can find, because it can become overwhelming.
Yeah. So how did you find balance? Because I tell you what, you have like one wrong sneeze and you go look up at WebMD and they're like, you are dying right now. So how did you kind of find balance between what you're saying, that negativity that can be out there and can sometimes be like consuming, and the facts that actually apply to the symptoms that you were feeling?
Yeah, I think, first of all, looking for credible sites, .org as opposed to .com is more helpful. But even then, maybe paying attention to the word choices to see if there's any biased information. But then also, I think talking to other people around you will help to reassure that, no, you're not tired. You feel like it. And I don't know, I'm laughing now because I'm not like in the thick of it anymore, but like I know, like I cried so many days while I was going through it. But definitely engage with other people, especially people you feel have your back. I think that is a helpful way to navigate the situation. And then use the information you're finding as a source, right? To help you to, when you go back to your doctor, to know the questions that you want to ask to get more clarity.
That's good.
Right? So you're getting information, but you're also using it to get clarity from the medical professionals as well.
Absolutely. So I love what you mentioned there about taking the information that you find and kind of testing it with your doctor. And also you mentioned, like, we were having that moment where we were laughing and you mentioned that you could laugh now because you were no longer in the thick of it. For an audience member or a listener that is currently in the thick of it, what advice would you have for them? Like, how did you find your strength during that time?
I think definitely taking it one day at a time. Like, I don't know, like sometimes we tend to think, you know, about the future, like next week, next year, whatever. I think it's definitely helpful to like just take it one day at a time, assess how you're feeling in the moment, and do what you need, like paying more attention to yourself on a personal level. You know, sometimes we're like, go, go, go. But what do you need in this moment? Sometimes I got so tired, like just taking a walk outside. I got so tired and I couldn't explain it. But in that moment, right, I needed to sleep. Even though a person who's generally my age wouldn't necessarily just go take a nap in the daytime, but that's what I needed because my body was just so tired.
Wow.
So I think definitely taking it one day at a time, paying attention to your body and what you need is important in the moment. And know that, you know, it's going to be okay. Just keep trying to find the information because you could be facing whatever, right? It could be some different things that you could be facing. For myself, I had SIBO, which was leading to digestive issues. So SIBO also can disrupt your whole system, right? Even though it affects your gut, it could also contribute to some of those other things, like the fatigue I was feeling, even the tingling and numbness. That could be a side symptom of something like that too. So I think it's especially important to try to get to the root cause of what you're going through. And unfortunately, the way to do that is continuing to go to the doctor, which I do know can be both financially and physically draining. But after a while, it was helpful. Like, knowing what is happening with me gives me now the confidence to like go in and be more proactive with what I do on a daily basis to give myself what I need.
Wow. So it sounds like even throughout the process, you kind of had to listen to your body. And even though maybe what was happening or what you had to do as a result was not necessarily what you would naturally do, like taking a nap during the day, but you had to listen to your body for kind of the instructions on what you needed to do next in order to get to that place where you could have the energy necessary to do the things that you had to do.
Yeah, definitely. That was important. And that's one of the things that I take with me in my coaching, because, you know, women are too affected by autoimmune conditions two times as much as men. And aside from autoimmune conditions, like other conditions and disorders, like women are significantly more affected than men are. And so, you know, I know as women, a lot of times we're the caregivers, and
yeah,
we tend to look out for other people, and sometimes we neglect ourselves. And I'm finding, like, through this process that it's so important to pay attention to individuality, even including in what we eat, right? Mm-hmm. What I eat might not be good for what you and what your system tolerates, right? And vice mm-hmm. versa. So
definitely vice versa.
Yeah, that simple act of like listening to your body is just one part of self-care.
Absolutely. So you went through this really tough, trying situation. And on the other end, now you are coaching people and helping people. And you have a podcast where you talk about this and help people along their journey. How did you get from that space of, again, in the thick of it, don't know what's going to happen, trying to figure this thing out, to this space of, I want to bring a voice to this and I want to empower people that are going through something similar? Like, how did you bridge that gap?
Yeah, a background in librarianship and education, like that's like helping others, right? My undergrad is in psychology. I've always wanted to help people in general. And like going to the doctors was a very frustrating process for me because I didn't understand what was happening. And papers, the forms that you fill out with the medical terminology, sometimes it's just like, what is this? It was just like so crazy. Like, you know, and so even for myself, it was crazy. So in learning more about autoimmune condition and learning that it affects women twice as much and seeing so many new cases of autoimmune condition.
Yeah.
And going through the process as a Black woman, whom I felt I wasn't really heard some of the times going to some of these doctors. And so I felt it was important to kind of bring more awareness to other people, because it's something I would have wanted while I was going through that, because I had no clue what was happening with me or what I was going through. And the doctors didn't know either. A lot of times, autoimmune conditions take upwards of 12 years to be diagnosed. So imagine going through all those things for 12 years. So
you can imagine it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so it was helpful for me to kind of like get outside of myself and put what I was going through to a better use. It was a really terrible thing to happen to me, but I really feel as though it was meant to help propel me to the next level. Because there's other things in my life that I had to make a change to. And it helped me to make those decisions. So, yeah, some things are bad and they happen, but sometimes I think good end up coming out of it. And this was one of them.
Wow. Wow. That is so amazing that you were able to find that opportunity in space, and not just able to find it, but willing to engage with the opportunity kind of set before you, in the sense that you could now take this bad thing and use it for the good of those around that also need to understand this, especially when you mention a statistic like women facing this twice as much as men do. And when you mention something that we know to be very true in a lot of different spaces in the medical community, where as a Black woman, sometimes you have to advocate for yourself in a different way. With both of those things, what gave you the courage to advocate for yourself, and what gave you the courage to truly step out and share your story?
You know, that's a question maybe I was going to try to find an answer to, because
that's
I've always been like introverted, honestly. Like, and aside from being introverted, I have struggled with finding my voice. And it has to do a little bit with culture, right? Growing up, being told, you know, speak when you're spoken to. And so growing up with that mindset, sometimes in situations where I'm supposed to speak up, I found that I didn't. And so in going through this situation, I don't know. What did I have to lose? I was already going through like this crazy situation where I didn't know what was happening. Like, there were two times where I couldn't walk. I couldn't move my body, even to help myself to the restroom. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to advocate for myself. I have to speak up. What do I have to lose? These are people too. And I'm a person, and I want to know what's happening. And what gave me courage was, the first time you do it, you get more courage to do it the second time. And then it becomes a normal thing. And then you realize that, whoa, I should have been doing this all along. And that was one of the other reasons why I wanted to create my podcast, Awaken With Me, because I do know that sometimes people have a hard time advocating for themselves. And so it wasn't easy for me. It definitely wasn't. But when I went into even like starting to coach and going on social media, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go all in.
Love that.
Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. And then that is what propelled me to like just do it. And then I actually like TikTok. And when I first started, I was having so much fun. But yeah, I told myself, if you're going to do this, you're going to go all in. And that helped me to do it, because I'm really like, and I was surprised with myself too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very surprised.
So you said so many things that I think are absolutely awesome. First, that whole question of what do I have to lose just blew my mind, because I think we oftentimes find ourselves in these situations where it's like, okay, this is where I am. And I know I need to get beyond this place. So the question is, what do I have to lose? And what is the reality that if I do have something to lose, what is the reality that I'm actually going to lose it? Because I think sometimes anxiety plays into some of our fear around speaking up when we find ourselves in those, what do I have to lose places. And then the next thing that you mentioned, where you said these are people too, just blew my mind also, because not only like, what do I have to lose? Just reminding ourselves and remembering that when we're having these conversations, we're having these conversations with another human, regardless of status, regardless of degrees, regardless of insert thing here. At the end of the day, we are having conversations with another human. Mm-hmm. And man, and like you hit like these three amazing steps. And then once you start having that conversation with that other human, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Mm-hmm. So that was so amazing. And then the cherry on top was the like, yo, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be all in on it. That was so good. Oh my goodness. That was so good. Wow. Yeah.
Because like otherwise, a lot of times we do think that we half step. And then when we don't succeed the way we want to, we think that that's how it was meant to be. But that's because we weren't really all in, you know?
Man, that is so good and so true. And sometimes a portion of that half stepping is like actually self-sabotage, which is a whole nother episode in itself. But oh my gosh, Nick, this has been so good. Everything from you sharing your journey to diving into the symptoms to try and discover how to best advocate for yourself, to gaining the courage to not only advocate for yourself, but begin encouraging and empowering others to advocate for themselves. Like this episode has been so, so, so amazing. So final question of the episode, what, if any, advice, final advice, do you have for me or anyone else that find themselves facing a situation or space of ambiguity or uncertainty?
I think fear is always like lingering in the background of things, right? A quote that I adopted some years ago and I still go back to it is, stay afraid, but do it anyway. And I think that has helped me a lot, because a lot of times we are afraid, and it's the fear that keeps us from doing the thing, you know, from advocating for ourselves. We're afraid that the doctor isn't going to receive us well, or, but, you know, in the midst of the fear, still try to do the thing anyway. Mm. And I think that's important. That will help you in like, regardless of what the situation is, whether it's advocating for yourself, whether it's just trying to find more information, whether it's stepping up to do the thing that's going to propel you to the next level of your life. But yeah, because fear is always going to show up. But the more you step past it, it's the stronger you're going to get. And the more you're going to be able to just do the thing that you need to do to strengthen in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was so, so good. Such amazing final advice and such amazing advice throughout the episode. Nick, if anyone wants to find you, continue the conversation, learn more, can you tell the audience and our listeners where to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. My podcast is Awaken With Me. It's available on a number of platforms. But if you go to my website, awakentoyourpassion.com, you'll find information for the podcast, all my social media websites, and also I have a resource page where I have links to books and other resources that I use on my journey. I also have a Patreon, which what I suggest that people start with if they want to work with me one-on-one, because you could get a chance to know more about how I operate if you want to go that route. But yeah, I'm excited to be on this podcast, and thank you so much, Abby, for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for your willingness to join. You are so appreciated, and thank you for your willingness to dive into the vulnerable and share your experience and allow myself and others to learn from the way that you navigated your space of ambiguity and uncertainty. And I also want to give a very special thank you to the listeners. And as Nick said, I want to encourage you to stay afraid, but do it anyway, especially this week. So thank you all so much for tuning in. We will talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambi. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I Am Amber Latrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambie.